Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. Coming up at 12:40, we're going to talk to Jim Rooney. Yes, Rooney as in the Rooney family.
Yes.
From the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes.
Jim's going to join us. Talking Cavs right now. Last night, they destroy an understaffed New Orleans Pelicans team. But the Cavs had key guys out as well. And the Cavs look great. Why?
Why?
You had guys on the bench who normally don't play a ton. Jalen Tyson, who doesn't play hardly at all, step up. As Anthony just said, 3 assists short of a triple-double in his first NBA start. You had Ty Jerome score 29 points. Caris LeVert wasn't in. Caris is terrific. Craig Porter Jr., terrific in Boston. You have a ton of backcourt depth. And I wonder, do you sit there and look at it, and Kenny Atkinson plays it when he needs to? Or does it make you think, if you're running the Cavaliers, wonder if we can turn that into anything. Terry's in Euclid. Terry.
What's happening, man?
How
hey,
are you?
T.
Good. Couple things. First of all, people jumping on Darius Garland for his game. It was a bad game, the 16th game of the season. I mean, not to say who cares, and not to say you're not concerned, but it's not nothing to be overly concerned about.
Agreed completely. Guys have bad shooting nights.
And if it was during the playoffs against Boston, I might be a little worried. But
if you don't have it, why put up 21 shots? That said, move along.
Well, but now I got a trade for you.
Okay.
What I got a couple of them. Let me put it to you like this. I want Cam Johnson from the Nets.
Okay.
Would you trade Caris LeVert for him? Would you trade Ty Jerome for him?
Ty Jerome has been so interesting here and effective. I don't know. That said, Cam Johnson is a guy that I really like. And he has an outside shot that would fit perfectly with this team, doesn't he? And he's 6'8".
Well, that's the guy that you could put on the Boston guys.
Right, and make the Boston guys work a little on the defensive end as well.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You become a bigger team. I don't want to give up Ty Jerome. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to give up Caris LeVert. But Cam Johnson is an interesting piece because of the size. And like you said, he can shoot the outside shot. We don't need him to score 25 points a game. We just need him to shoot a decent percentage when he does shoot the ball and guard these 6'8 guys that are wings.
Terry, he was a name that was thrown around in the offseason as well as a guy who might be a really nice fit for the Cavs. The one thing I keep looking at on this team and think, and I sure wish there were somebody else there, and maybe Tyson becomes that guy, except the way he looked last night, you wonder, can he handle the ball and play point guard? That, which might be interesting. If you have so many guys there that, and you don't have a guy like Cam Johnson, I think you'd have to think about something like that.
I mean, you got Imani Bates to think about too, because he's going to be coming back here shortly.
Until Imani Bates shows anything in the NBA, you can't include him in this.
Well, no, I get that, but what I'm saying is, that would be the perfect fit, the guy that's the size and everything. And I think Cam Johnson knocks them out the box. Well, if you get him, he knocks all that out the box. And I think you don't trade Darius Garland. I mean, I heard you say trade Darius Garland.
No, you've never heard me say trade Darius Garland.
Nothing against you, Terry.
I've never said that.
I people were doing that yesterday, too.
I wouldn't trade Darius.
I think what they're doing is they're hearing callers say you got to trade him. And Jeff and I have never said that.
Okay, well, I've heard it mentioned. Maybe it wasn't you guys, but I heard
it. It wasn't us.
And unless you're getting a guy that's totally elite, you're not trading them. I mean,
agreed, completely.
You're not going side by side. You're upgrading. So
agreed, or changing position because you. And this is where things could get interesting if you're running the Cavaliers. It could get interesting here. Hey, wait a minute. We have a chance to get an elite fill in the blank. And I would think small forward would be the spot you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have to give up our, who we think is an elite point guard in Darius Garland. And he's certainly shown that, you know, he can play at that level. It comes to a point of this. Are you willing to kind of shift the focus of your team from two dominant guys in the backcourt and have it, let me just throw it as more of a Celtic team. Shift it to, hey, we've got a really good guy on the wing here along with Donovan Mitchell, and we have Evan Mobley and we have Jared Allen, and we can put somebody else at point guard who can run the offense. Now, again, we're not advocating to trade Darius Garland. I wouldn't. But I just think there's such depth here that those questions become something that I don't even know if you think about them, but it certainly raises those questions, doesn't it?
Is it broken? Because I don't think it is right now.
That's exactly it.
I mean, we're so used to trying to fix what might be the Achilles heel of any team. But at 16-1, it's kind of hard to say there's a true Achilles. I think we all kind of see what could fall through the cracks. But, I mean, they only lost by 3 points on the road at Boston. And they didn't. There was a point there in the game when they were down, 21? And you're like, okay, now I see what the problem is. And I see that if you go up against a team that can shoot some threes, you may have some issues. But it's like, they're 16-1, man.
But now see,
like,
look, Terry,
are we toying with this just to toy with it?
But Terry,
and if we are, is that a mistake?
Well, maybe. Terry just brought up a name, though, that I think is really interesting. Imagine rolling out this team.
Okay.
Jared Allen, Evan Mobley.
Mm-hmm.
6'8 Cam Johnson at small forward, who's averaging 18 points a game right now and is still only, 28 years old. Next to Donovan Mitchell and Ty Jerome or Caris LeVert or Craig Porter as your point guard. Okay? And that's, I'm not advocating a Darius trade. I don't think you should. But I like the feel of the team better without two smaller guards in the backcourt. Because I've always said I don't think that, you know, two small guards in the backcourt usually never wins you a championship.
So I just to make sure I'm hearing you right. You're Donovan Mitchell's your two, and then
you play one of these guys who's been really good at point guard, and you have him be the point guard. And again, this is just talk, okay? I think you could, and the key to keeping this all on the same page is this. Kenny Atkinson has figured out how to make it all work.
Yeah.
That's the key. Now,
your fear, though, is that they haven't played teams that are that good.
Well,
that's the fear.
It's something to consider, yeah. This is where the deep thinkers, Mike Gansey and Kobe Altman, need to sit back and think, do we have a team? Because, you know, you're 16-1.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a team that you think can win it all the way it's constructed right now? And if you do, then just keep rolling. And Kenny Atkinson has shown without question, I'm making this work. Would it work better if you had a little different setup? You know? And I don't know that it would. That's the thing. But I do think because of the way Atkinson has coached this team, you could say, don't mess with the thing. Or because of the way Atkinson has coached this team, you could think, gosh, he's getting so much out of these guys who aren't playing as much as they could. I wonder if that allows us to do something big or if that would just be a terrible mistake. I just think it's really interesting food for thought, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's something to keep an eye on because, you know, at this point, you've put yourself in a championship conversation. You're 16-1. We've seen the historic numbers. Teams that start like this get to the NBA Finals. That happens.
I don't want to mess with what they're doing with right now. And
I can't argue with you at all.
I just...
Not a bit.
I want to see when they go out west for a little bit. And they don't really hit that till Christmas. So I want to see what happens on the, like, I want to see what they look like on January 1st. How's that sound? And I think on January 1st, you'll have a much better feel for what are the things that need to be tweaked, the things that need to be fixed. Because, I mean, how many games? They got another, like, 20, 30 games or 20 games before the new year? Talk to me on January 1st, Jeff. Talk to me on Christmas. You know, talk to me a month from now.
The thing,
I love what they've done. They put themselves in a great spot to position them to control their destiny because they've won all these games. They can walk into games and just say, okay, got to win this game, or this is going to be this kind of game. They can kind of dictate the pace based on their own lineups. But I love how desperate and hungry the bench plays on this team right now because they're all giving everything they have, and they're successful. I don't know how long that's going to last. Like, you have to expect that some of this stuff is going to come back downhill. You have to.
Rodney's
They're 16-1.
Yeah. Rodney's in Cleveland. Rodney.
Hey, Rodney.
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on?
You are.
Hey, man, Jeff, I hear you, but, you know, my thing is with this, with Kenny Atkinson, the way he orchestrating this team, there are certain opponents when it comes about you can have Garland come off of the bench. If you trade him, you're not going to get a bonus. You're not going to get a superstar. Right now, Garland keep playing minus one game the way he's playing. He's an all-star this year. You do not trade the guy. Let him keep throwing his ingredients in the pot and let the soup keep getting cooked. And let's see how it ends.
Who would you play at point guard? Ty Jerome?
You got Ty Jerome. Like you just said it. You named all the guys yourself. Ty Jerome, LeVert, certain games, certain matchups. You got them guys, and guess what? In the third or fourth quarter, when after they run teams to death, who can come in and just light it up for you? You're going to have Garland. How many guys in the NBA can do what Garland do that you can trade for?
Rodney, I wonder, I from a straight basketball standpoint, I get what you're selling. I don't think that would work because I don't think you'd be able to sell it to Darius Garland. And you're paying him big time starter money.
You're right, but if you look at it, Jeff, there's probably only one team that you will make that adjustment with, and we seen it the other night.
Yeah, Rodney, interesting. That's really an interesting thought. But Kenny Atkinson has sold what they're doing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To the roster, I don't know how much more you can sell. That's a lot to sell. Andy is in North Olmsted. Andy, you got about 30 seconds. We're going to change to something else.
Oh, gosh, you guys are killing me. Hey,
sorry,
anyway,
buddy.
You know what? With Darius Garland, you know, in that Charlotte game, he was rolled on by Josh Green, I think, and Grant Williams. And he really came up gimpy a couple of games ago, and no one's really talked about that.
No, he was out with a groin last night. That might have had something to do with his 3-for-21 against Boston.
Hey, anyway, real quick, you guys, not that I want to trade DG. I love guys who play physical, you guys. In the playoffs, it's physical. Do you guys really both believe that Darius is going to be healthy and not get hurt? I mean, Ty Jerome is unrestricted. Sam's unrestricted. Karras is unrestricted. I think a three-team deal. San Antonio's got a million picks. They need a point guard. I would love to get Cam Johnson. Just do something. You know, and I like Darius, but Jeff, they played hero ball the other day.
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Andy. I hated it. All right, Andy, thank you, buddy. Kenny, keep it moving. But just know there are options based on what Kenny Atkinson has done with this roster so far. And it's a roster that he inherited. And he's done really good things with it. There's no question about that. Two keys and a lock coming up next here on Baskin and Phelps.
You're about the biggest. I did not go. I wanted to go.
About the biggest there is. You can't be that big if you didn't go.
I have a ton of Stones t-shirts and posters, believe me. And I know all their albums. And I've seen a vintage Some Girls album in vinyl in the flesh before they had to change the album cover.
And you didn't. And you didn't go to the concert. So how big of a fan are you?
Really? I mean,
I just didn't go. Just didn't go. But I still love them. I was there in spirit.
Was it Cash?
One of my best friends went.
You could have hit up Andy. One of your best friends goes, so you're a big Stones fan? Does that work, Andy?
You're a big Stones fan?
My dad's seen the Stones.
Things going.
My dad's seen the Stones.
Okay, so.
That's great.
Should we test them?
No.
You don't want to test them?
No, I don't.
You saw them in Tampa, though.
No, I don't.
You sure you don't want to test them?
No.
Just one.
Want to do two keys and a lock.
When did Aftermath come out?
1974?
I'll give it to you. 66. I'll give it to you.
Oh, a little yeah, 8 years. That's no big deal.
I'm just being nice.
That's a big deal.
It's only rock and roll?
That's no big deal.
That was a later album. I'd say probably close to
74, like you said. It was 74.
Before we do two keys and a lock, Darian wants to chime in on our Cavs conversation.
Not bad, though. Hi, Darian. How are you?
The Cologuard colon cancer screening test.
Hey, Darian.
Oh, Darian. Darian.
See you, Darian. You're done.
Yeah. Can't do that, man. Can't leave. Was that the TV yet on?
I don't know.
I think so.
Browns, Steelers.
I feel like I need to go to the doctor all of a sudden.
Two keys and a lock for tonight's extravaganza. Thursday Night Football on the lakefront. Andy, you get us started.
I get to go first. Give me a key.
Cody loves playing this music way too loud, doesn't he, Andy?
Yeah, that's okay.
It stays under voices.
It's okay. Jeff,
make
listen.
Sure it's there.
Hey, we got it. Listen. My first key has to be the Browns running game. And again, I'm still searching for that 100-yard rusher, especially if, you know, the turf is a little slick. I'm trying to think of a good horse racing term. It's not muddy.
It's a sloppy track.
It's a sloppy track. Could be a sloppy track.
That's horse racing, Andy.
Nothing would make me happier than my first key to the game. And I'll go back to 150. If the Browns rushing attack can get 150 yards on the ground, love to see Nick Chubb get a little revenge against the Steelers. We all remember the last time. So,
did you say 150 yards?
That's what you said last game. That's kind of the number I've been going for. You said 120, 150 out of the rushing attack in the last game.
I did.
From the last game, that's where the number sticks in my head from. So I was like, you know what? Jeff said that number the other day, and I was like, I just want 100-yard rusher.
I think I said 100 for the team.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying, 125 for the team.
Yeah, you just said 150.
150, 120, or 150. I'll go 150 for the team.
I'll go 150. Do I hear two?
150 for the team is a key, and I'd like to see Nick have 100 of that.
Anthony, give me a key.
I need to see some wide receiver take a step. I don't know if that's Elijah Moore. I would like to see Cedric Tillman have flashes of being a number one wide receiver. Somebody in the receiving corps needs to take a serious step forward today.
I'd like to see that too. Hody, key.
For me, the key number one for the Browns will be Jameis Winston. He threw for 395 yards in the loss to the Saints, and they only put up 14 points. Now, obviously, there were some issues with Dustin Hopkins kicking, and of course, that factored into the fact that the defense later on in the game would give up all 35 of those points, 21 of them in the fourth quarter. So to me, Jameis Winston, if he keeps those numbers going, I think the Browns have a really good shot tonight.
I am also going with Jameis Winston as a key. He's been really effective so far, Andy. Weather permitting on this, you know, unless we get the cyclone bomb that hit the West Coast.
How about that yesterday?
I would assume that they're going to be able to throw the ball tonight. The weather so far doesn't look too bad. And I think he has to throw for at least 250 yards tonight. At least 250 for Jameis Winston passing. And after 395 last week, I think that's quite possible. But the Steelers defense, of course, as we know, is pretty good. Andy, key number two.
Get to the red zone and score. You're the worst team in the NFL in the red zone. You just got there twice, and when you look at the red zone rankings, the Browns are absolutely horrible. And when you have a guy that threw for 395 on Sunday, there's just no excuse. get to the red zone and get points. That is key number two.
Anthony?
Can the defense wrap up and tackle? Najee Harris is a bulldozer, but I'm so sick and tired of seeing these arm tackles, shoulder tackles. If you want a sign that the Browns aren't giving up, they're going to wrap up on defense and bring guys down the first time they make contact.
Cody. Key number two for me is actually coaching. I think Kevin Stefanski at 2-8, I think he's a lot better of a coach than that record says. I think Kevin Stefanski making some good decisions on the sidelines tonight is going to really help the Browns out, and I think it'll be big in this Pittsburgh game.
Big in this Pittsburgh game, the man says. Big. I'm going to go with this one. The Browns better sack Russell Wilson a couple of times tonight. I think it's critical that the Browns sack him a couple of times in this game tonight. And Pittsburgh has been, they've been sacked a lot, Andy. They've given up 28 sacks on the season. And to me, that's a pretty good number. Browns, of course, have been sacked 46 times, but that was a different quarterback getting most of those. I think the Browns have to get to Russell Wilson a couple of times tonight. Make him a little uncomfortable. Time for the key. Well, let's go to the lock. Since we've all done a
we'll
key
do,
now.
Yeah, we've done two keys. Sorry. It only takes two keys to get in.
Can I throw in another key?
Go ahead. Give me another
the
key.
The key is the lock better come true.
Good one.
Go.
42, less than 42 points in this game. I mean, the Steelers are averaging 23.3, and the Browns can't get to 20. So a 42 is the number I kind of look at as far as total points in this game. And I just, man, the under just, it just, this game just smells. Although it was weird because when Nick Costos was with us before, he said, don't believe that. So all the elements are there for a low-scoring game. I'm going to lock in a low-scoring game, less than 42, because the Browns can't get
Nick
to 20.
Nick said take the over.
I know. I was shocked when he said it. I just can't see it. If it's a muddy track and the Browns can't score more than 20, they're stuck and they can't do anything in the red zone even when they get there, and it's hard for them to get there. And if the Steelers are only averaging 23.3, like, I think this is a less than 40-point game between the two teams.
Anthony.
Well, Andy, you kind of took mine. I was going to say no way Browns scored 20 points today. I know it's only been done once, but no way. So I'm going to go with 12 points, under 13.5.
Oh, that's what you think. Wow, gracious.
I think they get two touchdowns, but two missed extra points.
Does the Thursday night factor play into your thought process on this, too? The fact they're playing on Thursday night and it's a quick turnaround and guys get tired real quick in this. They got to get them extra water. They got to stay hydrated.
They look terrible in a dome on Sunday, 4 days ago.
That's a good point.
It's going to be any better when it's snowing?
Nope.
It won't be snowing.
That lactic acid has got to get flowing tonight.
You think so?
Yes.
Hody.
Kind of to build on Andy's point there about the low scoring game, but I think it's actually going to be even more specific. I think both teams are going to be held to under 16 points each.
Wow.
I think we only see one touchdown from each. I think this game is probably a 13-10, 16-10 kind of game. And historically, in recent years, it's kind of been like that. You look at last year when we played the Pittsburgh Steelers here in Cleveland, we won 13-10 with Dorian Thompson-Robinson quarterbacking.
Okay. Yeah, this could be an ugly offensive game.
Everybody's screaming that. My lock. Russell Wilson will throw at least two touchdown passes.
All right, well, 14. There you go.
At least two. They scored 18 points last week on Baltimore with no touchdowns. They had six field goals. And that's three of them were 50-yard plus. And that was serious. I think Russell Wilson throws at least two tonight, which means the Browns are going to have to respond on offense. Browns are going to have to come up with some offense today. That's one of my keys was Jameis throwing for at least 250 yards. There you have it. Ladies and gentlemen, two keys in the lock. Don't take that to the bank. It's just, you know, for entertainment purposes.
Yes. And we could all be wrong.
It's like Letterman. You know, it's like, you know, no wagering on that.
Yeah, whose line is it anyway? Drew Carey, same thing.
You
the points
me.
Are fake and everything is not real. And
there
blah,
it is.
Blah, 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 blah.
There it is. Do you think the Browns have a chance to win this game?
I actually do. I think they have a chance to win tonight's
game.
It's weird. It's a
Thursday
night game.
Why do I feel
that
way?
Because it's a Thursday night game. Bizarre things happen. They're normally dud games. The Browns have had a lot of dud games this year. Maybe this time it falls in their favor. I just – the one thing I pray for is the not getting just routed by the Steelers tonight. That would be really, really, really bad. That would be really, really
bad.
That
would be really bad.
I was going to chime in and say the last three meetings on Thursday Night Football, the Browns have played the Steelers. Browns are 3-0, 2019, 2022, and
whenever.
Yeah, it goes along matchup. With the fact that
there was another
the Steelers can't win on Thursday nights against the AFC North. So.
And, of course, yeah, Russell Wilson wasn't a Steeler and Jameis Winston wasn't a Brown. But those things are always kind of fun to look at, nonetheless. Fun to look at, nonetheless, Andy.
That's what you like to say.
Well, I just think this is an opportunity for our team to, and you're not going to right the ship. You're 2-8, you know, but I do think there is a lot to accomplish the rest of the way, or there's a lot to see go south, which leads to massive changes. And though I'm all for continuity, consistency, staying the course, and I think they have some pretty good people in place. You know, as I said early in the week, you don't win more than two or three games this year, you're doomed if you're a coach or your general manager. Up next, we kind of cross enemy lines.
We are crossing enemy, sort of.
Jim Rooney.
No, we are, 100%.
Jim Rooney, whose father, Dan Rooney,
yes,
ran the Steelers forever, and whose grandfather, Art Rooney, was the guy. Jim Rooney's going to join us next on Baskin and Phelps. Dan Rooney, legendary man who led the Steelers, whose grandfather, Art Rooney, legendary man who was the Steelers. Looking forward to talking to him coming up momentarily here. The game on the lakefront now, weather is starting to, there's starting to be some weather issues, Andy, coming out a little bit now. We're going to, with, you know, warnings and stuff. So maybe the weather's going to get crummy. What do you think?
I don't know. We need to get a staff meteorologist in here. Do I need to look it up? Do I need to play staff meteorologist?
No, please don't.
Because you love that. Right now it's 37 and cloudy.
Oh, good.
At least it's not. I mean, I don't see these. None of the snow was sticking. I don't know if downtown got any snow. But I know our east side of town got. Far east side, northern Summit County got some snow. So I saw that. I
just got a weather advisory that said 3 to 5 inches by midnight. But it was Cuyahoga and Geauga.
Huh. You just got that?
Yeah.
Your phone's listening to you.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
I don't know. You want me to make the call? We can get a weather update.
I don't know if I want that or not. Right. I don't know. It might scare me.
I don't want to scare. I can make that call. I know plenty of weather guys.
You do know people, don't you?
I do know plenty of people. So I don't know. I just, you know, you play the Steelers, you got them tonight, and you kind of wonder, man, what happened? What happened since the 70s?
Well,
what happened since the 80s?
Good question, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, the Rooney family has big, big ties to the Steelers, obviously, going way back. They also have big ties to Northeast Ohio. And we are very happy on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to have Jim Rooney with us, part of the Steelers ownership group and the author of a book, A Different Way to Win, Dan Rooney's Story, From the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good to be on today. How's everything in Cleveland?
We're good.
It's good.
You're going to give us all the industry secrets to make the Browns a winner today, right? That's what we're hoping for.
And thank you for that.
That's what I'm on for.
Before we get into some other things, I think everybody needs to remember, when the Browns left town and went to Baltimore, your father was huge in support for Cleveland. And I think that says a lot, because, you know, here's the arch rival. Teams don't like each other, but we all know that the cities are kind of like sister cities. And to be honest, I've always kind of thought of the Steelers as, you know, if the Browns don't have the Steelers and the Steelers don't have the Browns, well, that's no fun and that's no good for anybody. So the support of your family during that time, I thought, was essential for Cleveland.
Well, I really appreciate that in the book. And as you know, we just dropped the audio version, which folks can download, which we're really excited about. But we talk a lot about that time and was this important moment for the league. It was important for my father. And, you know, he's really upset with Art Modell, who is a very close friend of his. And it's actually what built a relationship between he and Roger Goodell. So Paul Tagliabue, who was the commissioner at the time, didn't want to sort of deal with the problems Modell was giving him because he didn't really want a new team in Cleveland right away. And Tagliabue put my father and Roger Goodell, who was a young staffer, in charge of the project. And, you know, we have the new Browns since then.
Tell me about the book, the motivation for the book, and, you know, what are we going to learn? Especially, it's the audio is available on Google. Is that where it is right now?
You can get it on Google Play. You can get it on Audible. You can get it on iBooks at Apple, anywhere you download books. And we really enjoyed the audio because, in addition to the written words, which we had had success with, we included a lot of really good interviews that I even think Cleveland fans will enjoy. So, you know, there's a lot of Steelers, but there's several with Roger Goodell, with Paul Tagliabue, with the conversations about what happened, the whole sort of why teams were moving because of stadiums, but Cleveland becomes sort of the central part of that conversation. So you get to hear sort of firsthand what my father did, and I think it becomes a really intimate experience for the listener.
How interesting is it for you to be a part of the most stable franchise in the NFL? And, you know, we've preached continuity and consistency here, and you can't mention those words with a National Football League team without thinking about your team, who has had three coaches since, what, 1969?
Absolutely. And look, it starts in Cleveland. You know, Chuck Knoll went to Benedict and High. Now he went down to UD, but, you know, he grew up in East Cleveland, and the values that he learned in Cleveland are the bedrock of what the continuity of the Steelers are all about. And I think, you know, like you said at the beginning, I mean, it's not just Pittsburgh and Cleveland. It's all the mill towns along all these rivers in between. And, you know, football is so important to all of us. I mean, it is, you know, what we all grew up loving. And for, you know, 100 years now, maybe more, it was, you know, the folks that worked so hard in those mills, it's what they came home and got to enjoy doing. And so, you know, it's so central to our fabric, and the fact that Chuck Knoll really made the Steelers and the Rooneys winners, you know, its roots are in Cleveland.
Jim Rooney joining us. Was that a tough thing for your dad and your grandfather to deal with, knowing that, okay, there might be a down year here and there, but we think we have a really good coach in place. We think we have a really good front office in place, because, you know, there's not a lot of patience in the National Football League or in pro sports, period, Jim.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, we believe it's the opposite. We believe it's a business mistake. You know, look, we want to win every game. We're also in business. And, you know, we think, you know, your talent, which is your players, the most important thing you can do to them, and my father always said this, don't confuse them. You know, people want to understand the expectations when they show up in the morning. They want to be challenged. You want a tough coach, but you know, you want someone that's clear, that doesn't play games, and that, you know, pretty much every day people show up and they know what the expectations are going to be. So, you know, it's tough in theory when fans are mad at you because you lose, but in the long run, we feel like it's a business advantage.
How much pride does your family take? I mean, beyond football, just the fact that we talk about the Rooney Rule, and that we're trying to get some kind of balance in equity in hiring practices for the NFL. How much pride and how much of that is in the book?
Yeah, so the you know, I kind of tell the story of my father's work with the NFL and then his work with the Steelers, and I'm using it to sort of set up the experiences he had in being so successful, in having more black players than most teams had back in the 70s, in hiring Bill Dunn, who was one of the first African-American scouts, and really how, you know, that commitment to bringing others in changed the fortunes of our franchise. Why wouldn't the league want to do those same things? So to me, it's the most important thing he did. I love the rings and the trophies and all those things, but to really try to do something in sports that's gone beyond sports, that makes a difference, you know, in the communities and in the world that we're part of, you know, that to me is the most important thing that he did. So it's a big part of the book, and it's something I'm most proud of when I think about my father's work.
Jim Rooney joining us, son of Dan Rooney, grandson of Art Rooney, Pittsburgh Steelers. They sent you to Cleveland for school.
Yeah, well, how did that happen?
What the heck,
so
man?
Your brother, so you graduated from Gilmore in 86. Your brother graduated, what, 1970? And then your son graduated in 14. Is that right?
Yep. And my sister went to John Carroll. I got my master's at Case. So we spent a lot of time at Gilmore and, you know, all those surrounding areas. And, you know, I still have friends there. Two guys text me and say they're listening to the show. you know, it's part of our lives. I mean, you know, look, if you lived in New York and you went from, you know, the Connecticut area of New York to New Jersey, it's further than Pittsburgh is to Cleveland. I mean, you know, these are two of the exact same town. The people just have always treated my family so graciously, even when you were kicking our butts, which was more often than you might think over the years. And other than, you know, being a jag off every once in a while with my friends, you know, I've always had so much respect for the fandom of Cleveland. I mean, they're, you know, you folks are sure talk about it all the time. But everywhere I go, there's Steelers fans, but everywhere I go, there's also Browns fans. And I always try to talk to them and tell them, you know, how much we love them.
Was it tough for you, for your family members, to be in the Pittsburgh Steeler family and yet be in Cleveland, which at the time, you know, huge rival, still huge rival? Was that difficult for you, or did it become a very fun thing quickly?
Or the realization the Browns could not win in Three Rivers when you were in high school?
Well, one day a year it was bad because I would always get about 20 tickets in Old Cleveland Stadium, and I would wear a Steeler coat, and all my friends who were Browns fans would get beer thrown on them, and they'd all say, you know, you have to wear that coat. But the rest of the time, I can't tell you how kind and generous and the integrity and the lessons that I learned in Cleveland, you know, have been important in my entire life. I mean, it's just good people there.
Did you get a chance to throw some good luck at the football team that plays Youngstown Ursuline this week? And they're having one of the most successful seasons in Gilmore football history. And, you know, and your son
Absolutely.
Played there for a while. Did you talk to him yet or no?
So, Tim Lennon, who was I was better than Tim in high school, but his nephew and his sons are the stars on the team. They clearly got their athleticism from their mom, but you know, they're driving Gilmore to be pretty successful.
And Brody will be at Ohio State next year. He's a signed tight end out there.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I was kind of hoping he'd go to Pitt, but I'm really glad he's going to OSU. That's just fantastic, isn't it?
Let me go football with you one more time. Your team didn't have a quarterback. You go out and you get two who look like they can play. Good Lord, we've been looking for a quarterback here since 1999. How about Russell Wilson and the move that Mike Tomlin made to put Justin Fields on the bench and play a guy when the team was going really well? That was a big move.
Well, Mike Omar brought everyone in the coaching and scouting departments. I mean, you know, you get to see how hard they work. So I wasn't surprised. I mean, they do something like this every year, and you know, it's good to see, and you know, football gets tough after Thanksgiving. So I hope we're able, you know, I'm not picking a fight with Browns fans, but I hope we're able to keep this going here a little bit.
Jim Rooney, thank you very much. A different way to win. Dan Rooney's story from the Super Bowl to the Rooney Rule. Jim wrote it about his dad. And again, Jim, where can everybody get it?
So again, we're really, you know, pushing the audio version right now. So Audible, Apple, iBooks on Apple, but wherever you download audiobooks, it's available.
Thank you for being with us, and good luck tonight to a limited extent.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
yeah,
it.
Good luck every night, but tonight. How's that sound?
I understand.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Rooney joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Very cool.
I'm interested to see listen to the book or read the book just to see the Cleveland town. I'd love to hear a little bit more behind the scenes on the move and
it
and
is
art
interesting
and all that stuff.
The Cleveland ties that the Rooney family has, you know, coming here for school and various, you know, various levels of schooling. And if you don't know, his dad was essential in praising Cleveland and, you know, pounding the drum for Cleveland after Art Modell moved the team to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps.